system under strain, going digital can help heal our healthcare. From virtual visits for everyday concerns to faster, more accurate diagnostics powered by AI, technology is transforming care. Digital Health Canada supports the people and innovations behind this change. Learn more at digitalhealthcanada.com and subscribe to our podcast.
Radio Goethe. Modern German music at its best. Every Wednesday afternoon at 2 p.m. on CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby. This is Radio Goethe.
Welcome back. This is CJSF 90.1 FM. You're tuning into Slumber Party. I'm DJ Star.
And I'm DJ Coco.
And yeah, so the last couple of songs were Radia by Lina McCool, and before that was Sokar by Eliana. And we are back to our discussion on Palestine and academic censorship. And before that little music break, we talked mostly about genocide and what constitutes a genocide, why people might think that it's not one, even though it is. And now we're back talking about state and academic censorship.
So just before we start, just wanted to put out the definition of state censorship, which is suppression of speech, public communication, or information by the government, which is for state. So, for example, this is punishing people for saying what they want to say, controlling the media by limiting what people can see. So, for example, taking down news articles on out of news outlets, social media, and making sure that the algorithm doesn't see them. Versus or and or radio, what can be aired, etc.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I just want to go through a few questions about, like, who is doing this censorship? What are they doing also to support Israel? And that normally goes hand in hand with some form of state or academic censorship. And then, like, why does this happen? And first of all, who? What I found through my research, I think there's a lot of other countries that are doing it as well. But across Europe, especially Germany, France, England, Switzerland, and then also in North America with the Canada and the US, generally more Western countries, and also social media platforms that are run by Western countries like Meta, they're also doing a lot of censorship with Palestine. And I want to focus on Canada, but also Germany when I talk about what they're doing, because I spent around 5 months in Germany for my study abroad in Berlin. And that also was part of the reason how I became more pro-Palestinian, because I saw how police treated these protesters who are just peacefully protesting. And, you know, there's a whole complicated political environment there right now with the rise of fascism and everything. But to focus back on Germany, they export arms to Israel and also provide political support. There's a lot of police violence at pro-Palestinian protests. There's a deportation. There's lots of deportation. Okay, maybe not lots, but there's deportation of pro-Palestinian protesters when possible. But it's illegal. Like, people are there legally, so they're abusing the migration law there. And they've also banned the keffiyeh in Berlin schools, which is, you know, a symbol of Palestinian identity or support for Palestine. There was actually a case when I was in Berlin of four protesters who were three EU nationals and one American to be deported from Germany. And the behaviors, like the cited behaviors, were saying things like free Gaza from the river to the sea and calling a police officer a fascist. So, you know, not really the consequence of what they did, not really equal to deporting them. And in Germany, they normally use accusations of anti-Semitism and also the country's history and ties with the state of Israel to justify protecting, yeah. You know,
are they justifying
Israel?
That since their whole history with Zionism and trying to, you know, the Holocaust and trying to rid Jewish people, and now they're saying, oh, you know, now we're trying to support Jewish people,
yeah,
and keep their homeland.
Yeah. Pretty much. And saying, like, any kind of dissent against that idea is anti-Semitic, when it's really just criticizing the state and not the people. And then, yeah, just wanted to put that information out there about Germany. I guess I just had that in my mind, too, when thinking about this subject. And also Canada. I think a lot of people see Canada as this more neutral force than, like, just, you know, like, we're peacekeepers and everything. But actually, our government says that we haven't sent arms to Israel since January 2024. But recently, there's been some data uncovered from Israel, and four groups of researchers uncovered it: World Beyond War, Palestinian Youth Movement, and a couple others. And they found entries in the Israel Tax Authority that shows Canadian military weapon parts and ammunition are continuing to enter Israel to this day. And also, like, public commercial shipping documents support this finding. They're sent by Canadian companies and verified by permits through the Canadian government. And to clarify, there's no current permits allow for the shipment of arms and ammo to Israel, but the old permits are still good. They haven't been retracted. And so, yeah, that's, you know, how tangible Canada's connection with Israel is and support for Israel is.
I think also with the previous conversation we had about Hamas being labeled as a terrorist organization in certain countries, maybe potentially the fact that Hamas is labeled as a terrorist organization, specifically in Canada for one of the countries. This may be one of their reasons for still secretly supporting Israel, but that just maybe something there.
It's interesting that it's secret, too, because Canada, like the government has acknowledged the pressure from a lot of Canadian citizens who are calling out for them to not support anymore, and publicly they're saying they haven't, but it's still, you know, under the table happening. And in terms of academic censorship, there's been a few like published cases about it. At UBC, there's a sessional instructor who got let go after pro-Palestinian advocacy in 2024. His name is Sean Tucker, medical resident, University of Ottawa, suspended over pro-Palestinian posts. U of T actually issued a trespass notice threatening any academic staff who participate in encampments on campus with discipline, including termination, which is just a pretty obvious threat to academic freedom and the right to peaceful assembly. There's like a lot of these examples. If you go onto the Canadian Association of University Teachers, they have a report on the academic freedom in Canada after October 7th, 2023, and they have a ton of examples of how different academic institutions will suppress any talk about pro-Palestinian discussion or action. And yeah, I just want to reiterate for people who maybe missed it is that we're partially talking about this because one of my professors talked about it in one of my lectures about how it was a genocide, and that was my first experience with it being acknowledged in an academic setting. And she did seem, you know, very tentative about it because I think a lot of this censorship makes people scared to even talk about it or bring it up.
Yeah. I think the question is that naturally rises is why are we doing all this academic censorship, and especially in Canada, where it seems like more of the majority of people are now moving towards supporting Palestine and the idea of genocide and having sympathy. So, yeah, naturally this led us into why specifically in Canada. And on my take, this is just a theory, but that... that universities are trying to adopt this idea of institutional neutrality. So this means not taking a side as an academic institution to protect, you know, academic freedom and freedom of speech, avoid alienating people who have different opinions from others and ostracizing them and kind of more encouraging these diverse discussions, which is, you know, arguably there are pros and cons to this.
Yeah, and just to get into the not taking a side or being neutral a bit more is SFU clearly says that their stance is committed to anti-racism, decolonization, and promoting an equitable and inclusive community, because they actually had to create an equity, diversity, and inclusion office because of, you know, that, I guess, the debate on free speech versus hate speech. So they're like, okay, we are committed. And they specifically say decolonization, anti-racism. And yet, you know, there are some institutions within, or what's the word? Some faculties within SFU have said that they are pro-Palestine publicly. I think sociology and anthropology are a couple of them. But the whole SFU body, who's like represented by Joy Johnson, there's no statement on it. And I just thought it was interesting that Joy Johnson did call to end the invasion in Ukraine, but there has still not been any statement on Palestine. So, you know, it kind of shows like where people are taking a side and what they can or can't talk about.
Yeah, if SFU is trying to do this institutional neutrality like a lot of other universities, obviously Joy Johnson's actions have been failing to do this, because, you know, ending calling to an end of the invasion in Ukraine, that is going against this idea, and then as well excluding and not mentioning Palestine. So that's obviously the neutrality is not there. And, you know, the institution itself is supposed to stay neutral, and I mean, Joy Johnson is the face of our institution, so we are now not neutral. And this, I guess, it's hard to stay neutral, you know, because an institution is made of so many individuals, and especially, you know, in a more liberal environment, we're going to have more same ideas that will be pushed, but they're, you know, individuals should be free to express their views. But within the institution, under this idea of neutrality, that if the faculty were to, you know, choose one side of the conflict, you know, just mention, hey, like, I want to support Palestine, this does make it biased as the institution. And that leads into all these problems, which maybe is the reason for all these universities, as DJ Star was saying, of the instructors being let go, residents taking all these trespass notices, et cetera, going off this idea of neutrality, which in SFU's case, our university, we aren't doing.
And just to add, is that the whole idea of like this institutional neutrality actually violates academic freedom and freedom of speech, because it's being weaponized in a way that people can't actually talk about pro-Palestinian issues. And by eliminating that side of the discourse and not really doing the same for the other side, as DJ Coco was saying, it's pretty biased. And it impacts the ability of professors and other academic professionals to exercise their rights to freedom of expression for Palestine specifically.
Yeah, so any speaking out about Palestine, you would face consequences from the employer. So these people losing tenure or their jobs and going against this whole idea, which leads into censorship occurring. And, you know, there are benefits, it seems, in a more abstract form of this institutional neutrality of trying to protect freedom. But then by trying to protect freedom, you're hurting people's right to express freedom, which is kind of like a cycle, you know. And there's also other problems, like how staying silent even is a form of complicity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, these professors and lecturers, they can't say what they want to say, and so they end up actually helping the problem that they don't want to help. And it makes this, it's, neutrality is pretty much fiction at this point, because how are we even supposed to be neutral with all of this?
Mm-hmm.
So those are just some other points against this idea.
And also, just to bring this conversation slightly to a close in terms of, you know, why there is academic censorship, is that there's also a perspective that Israel's values are Canada's values in a way. Like, this is kind of known as settler solidarity, because, you know, we are both states that are kind of formed on genocide and also like just colonization and these types of values, and our own history as a nation is often not really talked about when we talk about our reaction and support towards Israel, because, you know, our state was formed on the genocide against Indigenous people and continues to be. And if we do acknowledge that what Israel is doing is a genocide, then we will also have to support the decolonization of our own country and the reconciliation that is not truly happening right now in our country as well. So I think that's also another factor as to why we are suppressing these pro-Palestinian ideas, because it's also like a mirror back to our own country and what we need to do to be better and to change. So
because I think when people are Canadian specifically, that they have to make some sort of sacrifice to their own life to help Palestinians, such as, you know, donating their money that they could use, or etc. And by that sacrifice that people don't want to do, as ZJ Star was saying, that would mean, yeah, facing the Indigenous history and, for example, doing the things that we don't want to do, like giving the land back to them.
Yeah.
And so exactly. Is it things that can we even we can't change quickly overnight, but it will take centuries to do. And it is very, it's very difficult to do. But I don't know, I felt that was slightly relevant.
Yeah, I think it definitely is. Because if we acknowledge Israel is effed up, then we have to acknowledge we are too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people don't, you know, that's not how our government really operates. Like, we continue to benefit off of this. So
and
why would we change it?
The status quo, we don't want to lose what we have right now. So,
yeah, I guess so.
Another topic about society.
Society and the status quo, guys.
We will not get into right now. But I think we'll just conclude this discussion before we get back into the music.
Yeah, just a little conclusion is that, like, things that you can do if you do care about academic censorship and our Canadian government still continuing to support Israel, is that if you go to SFU, there are protests happening through various organizations. You can go, like, look into SFPIRG and also I think it's SOCA, perhaps. There's, yeah, like, you can get in, just look up, you know, protests happening in SFU. There's one, like, a couple weeks ago. And just going to protest in general. There's one on the art gallery, at the art gallery every Saturday. Because just, we need to, like, demand certain things from our local governments. And they do succeed, because in August of 2025, so just a few months ago, Burnaby City Council passed a pro-Palestinian motion asking the federal government to impose an arms embargo on Israel, so no more sending arms to Israel. Also committed Burnaby to signing the Apartheid-Free Communities Pledge. So yeah, just in general, like, going to local protests and getting organized can really make some real impacts for this.
And even before doing any action too, if you're still on the fence, which I admittedly was on the fence about this topic, it's good to do a lot of thorough research and actually read thoroughly credible sources about the conflict.
The genocide.
Don't just take news articles for what their titles are, because that's a mistake that I did for one article, which really influenced my opinion. And really check your sources, because, you know, Israel will say certain things, but you have to really dig deep to find out the evidence against it. And as well, just talking with people, because I felt like I could make more of my opinion by talking to lots of people with different opinions before I could get to this point of my argument, or I guess my standpoint on the conflict. So just before even doing any action, to just think, like, what do you personally think about this, and then get into what you can do.
And also, just one last thing is that calling it a genocide is more impactful than calling it a conflict, because, you know, that's what it is. And then there's less time for confusion.
As of October 21st.
But we're always learning. So anyways, the next two songs are, we're going to get into it, because
genocide as of October 2025.
Yeah, we need to get into the next show. But we're here every week. Next up is our friend's Open Mic, and the two next songs are by Zane. She's from Palestine. Her debut album was released October 15th, shaped by pain and love from her experience living in Palestine. Nostalgia is the name of this first song, and then Kolo Lena is the name of the second song. So thank you for listening. Sorry for this rushed extra, but yeah.
We'll see you next
week.
Tuesday, 6 to 7.
Bye. Whoa. I'm صار عم ينزل بس مش خيم Dreaming of silhouettes and no shame فيديش بس ما فش طير بيضوى بآخر النفق roads to nowhere في نجمة ضاية بالسماء بس ما بتضوي إلا فكرة علموني عشقها من عيوني وأحكي لي مشاعر كل بيحسها بس خبوا إنه القصة كلها واحد وهم اتنان الموجود لا بتدلني لا بتوصلني
تعاتي بالأيام الشاي ما تكونوا زي زمان ما عشت ماضينا إحنا بس متمسكي باللي كان ما جمعنا إلا السكرة السكرة وش الخيال طلع الأمل هو البختة وأنا مش عارفة وين أروح في النوستال
Thank you.